We're going to be in Luke chapter 12 today, if you guys would like to follow along. Luke chapter 12. It's exciting starting this new chapter. Continuing on with the same idea as Jesus is warning people about the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. Last few weeks we've talked about this. Jesus was invited to someone's home for lunch, a Pharisee's home, and he comes in and he basically just starts pronouncing judgment on them. He does a few things that are unacceptable culturally, according to the Pharisees. He did not wash his hands ceremonially as he's supposed to before eating. And then he gives the Pharisees several judgments. Talks about the hypocrisy that is involved in their belief system. Let me make our way to chapter 12. And this morning, as we look into this, these first seven verses of chapter 12, I want to remind you that there are certain things that we should stay away from, right? If something is dangerous, we typically avoid it. We plan out our route. As we plan trips and so on, if we see bad weather, if we see snow, ice, rain, whatever, sometimes we'll change our plans to make sure that we make it to our destination with the least amount of trouble. Another thing we do not do is we wouldn't put ourselves into this danger zone or harm's way. And first thing that came to my mind was that you'd never see me playing with a skunk. It's just not going to happen. That's the danger zone. You don't go there. Don't mess with those kinds of things. Now here, Jesus dealing with something much more serious. He gives this warning to his disciples. Before we get too far into this, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful that you give us this opportunity this morning to study your word, to expose ourselves to truth. God, I pray that you would work in our hearts, work in our lives to change us. Pray that you would convict us of the things that we need to change. Father, I pray that you would help us to handle your word accurately and carefully this morning. We recognize it as an extremely precious gift. Father, we want to observe the truth there. We want to take that in the way that you intended it to be observed, in the way that you intended to communicate that truth. And I pray that this morning you would give us wisdom as we make our way through this passage. Father, we are so grateful that you allow us this opportunity to worship you. Acknowledge your worth through subjecting ourselves to your truth. God, I pray that you would give us ears ready to hear this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. It says, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together, that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than the sparrows. very interesting portion of scripture, and you see this, the setting being laid out here as Jesus is gaining more and more popularity. There's lots of people. It says many thousands of people. The Greek word that's actually used there is the largest number in the Greek language, which is 10,000, and it's in a plural form, so it's like 10,000s. So we see at least 10,000, probably 20 or 30,000 people that are pressing in on Jesus at this point. He's gained this popularity, and people are wanting to see his interaction with the scribes, with the Pharisees. They want to see this this exchange going back and forth. And remember, in these days, they don't have this amplification. They don't have a sound system. There's no mics. And so everybody is just cramming in, trying to hear as much of this conversation as possible. And so you have people that are even stepping on one another as they're trying to get in close to try and hear the conversation that's taking place. So while all of this is going on, all of these people are pressing in on this, all these people are trying to hear what Jesus has to say, he turns to his disciples. He turns to the learners. And in all of this, he starts to talk with them. Now, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it starts this all the way to chapter 13 and verse 9. It's like this one continuous event. And as Jesus is explaining these different things, he gets interrupted from time to time and you see different things, but this is kind of the beginning of that, and he begins looking at the disciples and he wants to teach those who are wanting to learn. So verse 1 kind of sets this stage where everyone is trying to gain what he has to say. But Jesus focuses in on his disciples, those who are following him. This morning, I want to give you the exact same warning that Jesus gave his disciples. We must avoid hypocrisy. Watch out for it. This morning, I'll give you a few different ways we can make sure that we are guarding against it, make sure that we are watching out for it. Give you a simple definition for a hypocrite. It's a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. A person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. That's a hypocrite. Jesus warning the people against this. First of all, we want to avoid hypocrisy by not letting it spread. You see that here. The end of verse 1, he says, these people were stepping on one another. He began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He gives them this warning of watch out because it's just like leaven or yeast. The word leaven, the Greek word there is zume, which is the word we get enzyme from. This was the active agent that worked to change the properties of the dough. It only took just a little bit to spread through the entire lump. Jesus is saying, watch out, because just this little bit of hypocrisy, it can spread. It's going to spread. Watch out for it. It is, in many ways, infectious. When one person becomes hypocritical, as if they're putting on this mask or showing one thing when they're really another, that can cause other people to fall into the same mode of thinking. This morning, I want to challenge you, do not let hypocrisy into New Hope Bible Church. Do not let it start to permeate into our church. As soon as it does, it spreads. Quite possibly, it's already here. We need to watch out for it. So Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's warning them of these Pharisees. Also understand that this hypocrisy that he's talking about with these Pharisees, I think we're not so far removed from this. The culture around us, the influences around us, they can be infectious. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company. This evil company. The Greek word there can also be translated bad communication or bad conversation. It spreads. It corrupts. That's why in Psalm 1, It is said, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." This man watches out for those things. He's guarding against those things. This is kind of the foundation, the beginning, understanding that hypocrisy is bad and that it is infectious. Guarding against hypocrisy begins with realizing its evil and its ever-present desire to lure us in. Hypocrisy is incredibly seductive, trying to grab our attentions continually. So first of all, first step is just recognize it's dangerous and it will spread. Second of all, we avoid hypocrisy by being genuine. Sounds kind of basic. But the total opposite of a hypocrite is someone who is genuine, someone who is real, someone who isn't trying to hide anything, someone who is open, honest. Recognize in verse 2, it says, "But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known." God reveals these hidden actions. He sees everything. He sees the hearts of men. He knows our deepest thoughts. He sees our own hypocrisy. I might be able to fool some people, but God is not fooled. Our first house, the house my wife and I moved into, the first home we ever bought, we loved that home, but we hated that home. We got into it, and it was awesome because it was our first house. But then as we started to work on things, we began to realize, oh man, there are all kinds of hidden problems in this house. I remember one time in the kitchen, we were taking down some paneling, and we pulled one of the paneling pieces back, and we found this 4 or 5 inch hole in the wall leading to the outside. It's like, no wonder it's a little chilly in the kitchen. There's a big hole in the wall. The people had just covered it up. As we continue on in our lives, hopefully we're revealing those things. Hopefully we're seeing those things where we ourselves even try to cover up those mistakes, cover up our parts of our lives that we don't want other people to see. I was thinking about this. I was thinking that sometimes Sunday mornings can be the hardest. When you're getting ready and trying to get to church, it becomes very difficult. It seems like every obstacle that can get in the way sometimes is there. I was thinking through this. I was thinking about Mark Brighton. Mark and his wife June, they woke up excited on Sunday morning, excited to go to church. They got dressed and then they began to get the kids ready. And while Mark's trying to get his 3-year-old son's shoes tied, he bends over and he rips his pants. Meanwhile, June begins to get the baby ready, and the baby exploded while she was changing the diaper. Of course, there was a huge mess in the room. She's covered in mess, covered in whatever nightmares are made of, and they're trying to figure out what to do now. Mark and his wife, June, they both change clothes. They get ready, and okay, they've gotten changed. They've gotten the kids ready, and they're ready to go out the door just in time to get to church. As soon as they open the front door to head to the car, the dog bolts out the door, running down the street. So Mark, frustrated, goes out and begins walking up down the street, calling for the little dog. Aggravated, they're playing this little game of run and chase. This little dog's just having fun with Mark. After a few minutes, 15 minutes go by, Mark eventually gets the dog, puts him back in the house, and he hops in the car. He gets in, and his wife's a little bit flustered, and he hears this crying and whining that's going on, and he says, "What's going on, June? What in the world?" And June was sitting in the car, and she says, "Look, I don't know about you, but this has been awful. I'm sitting here, and our oldest son in the back seat has just been crying." He goes, "Why is he crying?" He said, "It's because the seatbelt is black." And that, of course, caused the baby to start crying. June's hearing all this, getting frustrated and angry. She's waiting on Mark. Mark hops in the car, and finally they just say, "Okay, we just got to get to church." So Mark pulls out rather quickly and heads down the road. As they're heading down the road, there's this red minivan that pulls out in front of them. And Mark is already aggravated, already flustered, and so he lays on the horn. He's just, man, peeved that this guy would pull out in front of him. And he begins to tailgate this car. And of course, June, already flustered as well, starts to give Mark this lecture on why he's going too fast. All the way to church, they're arguing back and forth. And they follow this red minivan. Ends up, the red minivan pulls into the church parking lot and out hops the pastor. Mark and June at this point are a little bit more frustrated, flustered, aggravated. They walk into the church building and there's some greeters there. Say, well, how's the Bryden family this morning? And Mark and June, they both reply, we're great. Does that sound familiar? We do that kind of thing all the time. We have those struggles all the time. We have horrible days, and this is even a light version of a horrible day. And we come into church, and we have these brothers and sisters who are going through same struggles, same problems, and we're covering them all up. We say, well, of course, I'm not going to tell them about my morning. They don't care about it. Might say, well, I don't want them to think that they're, you know, better than me, or you're comparing your morning to that person's morning or whatever. I think sometimes we become hypocritical and we don't even notice it. We cover up the things that we do. We cover up our life behind the front door or in the car. Surely you're not like the Pharisees and the scribes, right? Here's one way you know whether or not you're being hypocritical. One way you know you're being hypocritical is if you are hiding something. If you are hiding something. The question this morning is, what are you hiding? There was oftentimes whenever I would sneak things into school, whether it be a pack of Skittles or a toy. And of course, when the teacher was around, I was hiding that thing as good as I possibly could. We weren't allowed to have candy in class, and that was my thing. I had this friend that would bring Skittles to school, and I'd usually buy a pack of Skittles three days out of the week, I'd have a pack of Skittles in my pocket. Those were heavy days for me. But anyway, those are the kind of things I was hiding, those things. Didn't want the teacher to see. And you know, in life, we do the same thing. We hide certain things. Maybe it be something that we watch. Maybe it be something that we think. Some of the things that we do. You would be incredibly embarrassed if other people were to see you doing those things. However, you are not embarrassed whenever God, who reveals these hidden things, he sees and knows all these things, and you aren't embarrassed before him. That's a hypocrite. That's a hypocrite. God reveals these things. Verse 3, accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. What he's talking about here is this inner room. In the Jewish homes, there would have been this inner home, which basically the walls were built out of mud, dirt, and that kind of thing. And so robbers, they could break into the outside wall and get to the valuables. But at the inside room, that's where it was, where it keep all the valuable things. And if people wanted to hide something, that would be where it was hidden. He's saying, look, you're saying these things, you're whispering these things because you don't want people to hear these things. It's going to be brought out into the light. It's going to be shouted and proclaimed on the housetops. Usually there was a patio on top of the house. That would be where people would hang out. They would spend time together on top of the housetops. Anytime there was a public announcement to be made, it would be made from the housetop. Saying, look, these secrets that you're trying to keep, God knows all about them. There's nothing you can hide from him. He reveals it all. There are no secrets from God. You might think that you're whispering words no one else can hear. Maybe you're saying things about someone else. Maybe you're secretly whispering judgmental thoughts to other people. God hears those things that you say. He hears the little things that you say under your breath. I don't know about you, but whenever I used to get in trouble with my mom or my dad, sometimes I'd turn away and I'd whisper something. Just getting in my last 2 cents. My mom might not have heard it, but she knew I said something, and usually that wasn't a good thing. But she would hear this, and she might not know exactly what I said, but God knew exactly what I was saying. He knows exactly what you say as well. So the question might be, why aren't we more real with people? Why aren't we more real with people? Why aren't we genuine with people? I think sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid we're not good enough. We're afraid that other people are going to judge us. We're afraid that they'll think less of me. Maybe we've bought into the idea that we're all alone in our problems. Nobody else is going through this, so I better just keep it to myself. There are all kinds of reasons. They're all usually connected to what other people think. That's why in verse 4 and 5, Jesus addresses this very, very clearly. He says, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that have no more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. We avoid hypocrisy by fearing God rather than man. We fear God rather than man. Do not be afraid of man. He says here, look, the worst thing a man can do to you is kill you. We say, oh, that's awful. But really, when you look at it in comparison to God, that is such a small thing. Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He also says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Why would he say to die is gain? Because if you're a follower of Christ, there's the heavenly reward of being with Christ. I think this often seems a lot easier said than done. This is a lot easier said than done. Don't be afraid of man. See you later. That's a difficult thing. We are not to be afraid of man, but the contrast of that is we are to be afraid of God. The one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Fear him. Have this reverence, this awe, this holy terror about God. I think we don't always think of him in those terms. The word hell here is Gehenna, the Greek word, or the Valley of Hinnom. This was a Jewish high place where I think Ahaz and Manasseh offered sacrifices. Often these were human sacrifices that were offered, made up to Molech, false god. Eventually the valley was rid of this pagan worship, but it became a dump, a place where trash would be burned. There was this constant stench, this constant fire that would be taking place here in this area of Gehenna. It's referred to as hell. Gives us kind of a picture of the horridness of that place. And we come before God with great fear because he is powerful, he is strong, and he can do far beyond what man can do to us. I was thinking about this, and it's kind of like a man who's afraid of a mosquito. He's so afraid of the mosquito, in a desperate attempt to avoid this mosquito, he falls over a cliff. It's like seeing this small thing and this huge thing. That illustration doesn't even do it justice. There's no comparison, ultimately. The body will die, but only God has authority to judge a person. Only he can make that call. The people we're trying to impress, the people we're trying to hide our faults from, they don't get to make that call. Oftentimes we rationalize the things that we've hidden. Sometimes we're okay. We say, you know what, if God knows, it's okay. But it's not okay if other people know. It's not okay if other people know our shortcomings, if they know our issues, our problems. I think that's ultimately because we still fear man rather than fearing God. We have a greater fear of man than we do of God. We avoid this hypocrisy, however you want to say it. It gets strange. The more times I say it, the weirder it sounds. Avoid hypocrisy by fearing God rather than man. Lastly, we want to see we avoid hypocrisy by realizing our value to God. We avoid hypocrisy by realizing our value to God. You know what? God cares for us. He loves us. So much so, we have this illustration here in verse 6. He says, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than the sparrows." These sparrows, little bitty birds. 5 sparrows worth about 2 cents. This was like the lowest, 1 cent was like the lowest denomination of currency. And he says, look, you can buy 5 sparrows with these 2 cents. 2 cents was probably about an hour's worth of work. And the reason they were catching these sparrows, the reason they would sell these sparrows is because the poor people, they didn't have a lot of money, they would eat them. And so they would take these little birds and be like just this little nugget, right? So they would buy them, and it's just this tiny, little bitty, insignificant bird. And Jesus is saying, look, if I care about them, these little bitty birds, how much more do I care about you? Matthew 10:29 says, "Are not 2 sparrows sold for 1 cent?" The guys in Luke are getting a deal. And you get 2 for 1 cent, or 5 for 2. A little bit better deal that way. He says, "And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." Not one of them will fall to the ground. Not one of them will land or hop apart from the Father. God knows every single time a bird hops when it lands. God knows every single time little bitty birds land. Man, how much more would He care about you and me? Would He know about everything that's going on, every single detail of our life? He not only will not forget about you, but He knows everything about you. He knows all about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. I'll tell you, the average person has about 100,000 hairs on their head. Blonde people have a little bit more. They have about 150,000. Redheads have an average of 90,000. That's a lot of hairs. And thankfully, for some of us, God is really good at subtraction. And some of you maybe are just hoping that your hair turns gray rather than turns loose. But God keeps track of every single one of those hairs. He knows every single one that falls out of your head. He knows the exact number. And you multiply that by billions of people. And He knows the exact number. My grandfather is getting ready to experience a pretty difficult weekend. He's gone through the chemotherapy, and they say he's going to lose his hair about, you know, sometime in this weekend, beginning of next week. And there's not a single hair that comes out of his head that God doesn't know about. God is not someone who acquires information. He knows everything, and yet He loves us. So, understanding that, we ought to go and worry about what other people think about us. Let's worry about how we can be better or worse than someone else. No, that's not the case. God values us so much. We should respond by giving Him all of our focus, all of our attention. We should respond by saying, God, I am afraid of You. I am afraid. What's interesting here is this verse, a few verses earlier, He says, "You fear the one who has this authority." Then in verse 7, he ends this. He says, do not fear. You are more valuable than the sparrows. He says, you fear God, yes. And when you fear God, you have nothing else to fear. If we fear God, we have no one else to worry about. Nobody else to compare ourselves to. If He is our primary concern, if we are consumed with what He thinks, then we have nothing else to fear. Let that peace soak in just a little bit. That gives us such peace, doesn't it? I don't have to worry about what you think. Praise the Lord. You don't have to worry about what I think. But we should be afraid of our God, and we should be humble before Him, and our attention, our concern should be all about what He thinks. He knows everything. In conclusion this morning, if you want to be a hypocrite, then here's four steps to being one. If you want to be a hypocrite, then let hypocrisy affect you and those around you. Just let it spread. Number two, if you want to be a hypocrite, then hide things as much as necessary. Hide as much as you can. If you want to be a hypocrite, then be afraid of people. Fear man. If you want to be a hypocrite, ignore how much God values you. Just ignore it. If you want to be a hypocrite, ignore what God thinks about you. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? When it's put into these terms, understanding that God has this power and this authority, and that He has such care and detail over you. It sounds ridiculous that sometimes we worry so much about what I'm going to wear. I sure hope that I don't have something on my face this morning. I sure hope that person thinks the right thing about me. I sure hope they don't see that I have this issue that I'm trying to conceal. And so on. Hopefully in our church we foster an atmosphere in which people feel like they can be open. Because we are more concerned about God than we're concerned about man. That's the kind of atmosphere we want in our church. I think that's the kind of atmosphere that is pleasing to Him. Let's pray together. Ask Him to help us with this. It's not an easy thing. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful that You care for us so specifically, that You even know how many hairs are on my head. God, I thank You that You have this authority that I don't have to worry about what other people think. I don't have to be afraid of men. But I can come to One who is all-powerful, who has this authority to judge, this authority to declare what is right. And You are the One who will make the righteous judgment. God, I am so thankful that I can come before You and just acknowledge those things. Father, as we go through this week, I pray that You would continue to bring these things to our mind. If there be something that we're trying to hide from You or trying to hide from other people, I pray that You would reveal that to us, make that known, so that we might not be hypocrites. If there's someone that we're afraid of, if we're afraid of some person, if we're comparing ourselves to someone else, God, I pray that You would make that very obvious. Father, I pray that as we focus on You, as we fear You, I pray that You would continue to work in our hearts to make us more useful to You. May we be a testimony to the world because of how much we fear You. Because of how much we tremble at Your power. Your awesomeness. God, I thank You that even though we are so small, you desire to continue working with us, through us, and in us. God, help us as You spoke with these disciples. Help us to beware of this leaven. Beware of this hypocrisy that desires to spread. I pray that if there be something that we do or say that's hypocritical, even this morning, help us to make that right before you. We thank you that you are forgiving, that you are loving, even when we do act in a hypocritical manner. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.